This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. 1 o'clock hour kicks off. Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines are open. 800-636-1067. Kirk Cousins has broken his silence, boys and girls. He is speaking on Radio Row today for the first time since the Alex Smith trade, and among the things he is discussing, his future now, where he's going to end up, and what happened with the Redskins. Are you surprised it took him a few days to say anything?
I would have thought it would have been longer, but ultimately there's this pulpit here, or there's this venue, a.k.a. the Super Bowl week, where there are plenty of media outlets all gathered. So he could have waited and kind of done something on his own time, but this was basically a, you could do it now, maybe a little bit early, quote-unquote, or wait for a few weeks where there's less attention on it. This is your time to shine. Well, and everyone's here, all the eyes of the sporting world are on the Super Bowl, on the Super Bowl week. Go ahead and showcase yourself here.
Cousins with USA Today, 2 days ahead of the Super Bowl. He was, just like the rest of us, taken aback by the deal. Didn't see it coming.
Well, it was a surprise. I was actually working out at my hotel room here in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. And when I finished the workout, went over to my phone and saw the news. And, every player looks forward to free agency. And it looks like I'm going to be a free agent March 14th. I guess There's still some dates to check off, but that's where I'm headed. And, should be an exciting process. I haven't picked where I wanted to play since 2007 as a high school student. So should be an interesting process.
That's Mike Jones, who you heard there talking with him from USA Today. He mentioned some of his memories in D.C., and he's been very positive about his time with the Redskins, and that didn't change today.
Positive memories. I mean, I met my wife, got engaged to my wife in D.C. right on the Capitol Hill, and our first son, Cooper, was born in D.C., so a lot of special memories. We'll always look back on it fondly when we go back. Unless something unforeseen happens when we go back to pack up. My wife said she'll be leaving with a tear in her eye. So it was a special time for us, a lot of great memories. And I grew so much as a football player, grew so much as a person. And it's tough to leave behind so many great teammates, support staff, coaches, a lot of relationships that are tough to move on from. And while we'll keep in touch, you're not seeing them on an everyday basis is tough.
We just had EB from the Junkies on. He is upset. I guess the wrong word. Maybe just he's a little bit bothered by the fact that he thinks Cousins misled him and Redskins fans by saying there was a chance he was coming back. I always kind of thought Cousins thought he might play here this year. It would be on another one-year tag situation. Here was Cousins when asked if there was any chance that he was going to be a Redskin again.
No, it really didn't. Obviously, everything is 1 year at a time, one day at a time in this league. But I still felt like there was a good chance I'd be back. I was keeping an open mind after going through it now for so many years. I knew that a lot of curveballs get thrown in this league, and nothing really surprises me at this point. But, I think Washington can win. I think they're in a good place. And, whether it was going to be me or Alex Smith or somebody else, I think they're in a position to be successful.
I think Washington can win. They're in a position to be successful. Past tense, talking about the Redskins for the first time.
They, not we.
Cut we'll play for you here from this USA Today interview with Kirk Cousins today. He mentions Peyton Manning and Drew Brees because they're the other guys who have had the very rare chance to pick their employer in the prime of their careers as quarterbacks. I mean, these are largely uncharted waters for the veteran Michigan State standout.
Well, time will tell. We don't quite know how it's going to end yet, but it is a little unprecedented. Peyton Manning and Drew Brees both went to free agency, if you will, but they were injured at the time. And so that certainly, they ended up proving that it didn't matter. But at the time, there was a little bit of a question mark there. Fortunately, currently I'm healthy. So, that's exciting, and we'll see what it leads to. But you hopefully want, some teams out there to pursue you and then find the right fit.
I was thinking back to other free agent quarterbacks where it's happened. There's always been some kind of wrinkle. With Drew Brees, we think of it now as, man, I can't believe that happened. People thought he may never play again because of a shoulder. People thought he had this degenerative condition where he needed surgery on it, and his arm would never be strong enough to play the position adequately again. Dante Culpepper had a knee problem, and that was why a guy that was a perennial Pro Bowler was able to go somewhere else. Joe Montana coming off an injury. Whatever it's been, you've had these great quarterbacks that have changed teams. It's so rare. That's why it's so newsworthy, I suppose. But everybody's always had a wrinkle. This is the first time where, and I wouldn't put Kirk, by the way, in the discussion of a Dante Culpepper who was an MVP candidate or Joe Montana or anything like that, but you see my point. Meaning a marquee quarterback that has done everything that you would want a quarterback to do, coming from a fourth-round pick, turning himself into a starter, it just doesn't happen very often. Where there is no wrinkle, there's no knee surgery, there's no Teddy Bridgewater situation, there's no, yeah, he was here, but they drafted his replacement, or anything else. The only wrinkle is that the Redskins didn't want to pay him a contract offer that was worth doing when they had a chance to, and that started the separation that basically had been ongoing for 3 years. So unique and so rare. You've never seen two franchise tags before. You've never seen this, really.
Yeah, it's been a strange 3 years, and this week was no different. A lot of people have tweeted me and asked me for my opinion on what Colin Cowherd said about Kirk Cousins. And to be completely honest with you, I don't know what he said about Kirk Cousins most recently. And that's not a bit. I really don't. Dar was explaining some of it to me today. I understand that they're hot, very negative takes on Cousins. I don't keep up with Cowherd's takes on Cousins because they change like the wind blows. There was a freezing cold takes tweet that was just put out. Old Takes Exposed is the Twitter handle.
It's the best.
With some of Cowherd's takes over the years. Kirk Cousins, all the completions and none of the drama.
2014.
There needs to be a new term created to describe Alex Smith. Frankly, game manager is too dynamic for
2015.
Him. 2015. Kirk Cousins is fool's gold, Colin Cowherd says. Dumb teams hand franchise money to non-franchise quarterbacks. Said that about Cousins in 16. Could the Chiefs quarterback Alex Smith be underrated? Colin Cowherd looks at the numbers. Heard with Colin Cowherd in February of this year, Kirk Cousins is a franchise quarterback. Retweet if you agree with Colin Cowherd. Having Alex Smith as your quarterback is like going to Vegas with only $100. That was Cowherd as recently as last month. And then Cowherd now, I guess, is well,
there's even more in 2017.
March of 2017. So I guess that was last year, not last month.
Last year.
Then in March of last year, Cowherd said that the Browns and the 49ers should both be throwing all their picks at the Redskins to get Kirk Cousins. And then this continues to October of this year. Cowherd won't fall for Alex Smith again. March 1st, Cowherd believes Washington made the right decision to pay Kirk Cousins the big bucks in a small serving. Cowherd 15 hours ago, Alex Smith traded from Kansas City to Washington tonight. NFC East is no joke. And then he said that Smith is an upgraded quarterback for the Washington Redskins. So he has literally changed his opion 8 or 9 times
on both
this.
Players. So right. This is why, and this is, he gets a wonderful pass where he says, I write a column every day. It's just a great way not to be accountable for what you say. If you reverse your position, which I have, by the way, on Kirk Cousins, I remember thinking that he's a backup quarterback on a good team, a starter on a bad team. I used to think that. My file got updated. It's perfectly okay to change your mind about something. But to put in the ground whatever inflammatory hot take you want and then expect people not to bring up your other hot takes when you don't apologize or backtrack or say that you're correcting anything, that's why I don't respond to whichever way the wind blows
towards
Colin Cowherd.
Well, this
is what
people do, though. I think a lot of people, there are probably a few. Like, to me, when you hear Solomon Wilcots on our show saying he thinks Alex Smith's an upgrade, I believe that that is his opinion. I'm not really sure how he could have that opinion. I respect the heck out of Solomon Wilcots as a football person. But okay, fine. You know what? He disagrees. He's a smart enough guy. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. By and large, though, people that are saying things like Alex Smith is an upgrade or if you pay Kirk Cousins, you're screwed. You can't just say something reasonable. We spent 4 hours the other day breaking this trade down. Nobody wrote up a story about anything we said.
Right.
You want to know why? Because we said practical, reasonable things. We said things like, Kirk Cousins is a real good quarterback. He's going to hit free agency, and he's going to get paid somewhere. Alex Smith is the best of the bad options. Kendall Fuller is a good player you didn't want to trade, but it's the tax to have to upgrade. I mean, basically all the common sense things.
Sure.
There's not going to be a Pro Football Talk story about our comment. There's not going to be some national conversation about anything that we said. But if you say very loudly something that is hotter, a stronger take, you got a chance to get a little bit of run. Colin Cowherd is in that business. He has been for years. I actually really like his radio show. I watch his TV show occasionally. I listened to Colin Cowherd every single day for years. I like him a lot more than you do.
I despise him.
I'm actually a Colin Cowherd fan, but I know what Colin Cowherd is. Mm-hmm. I find him to be pretty entertaining, and I think that he does a good radio show. But when someone says, what do you think? Well, I think he's not a football expert. I think he's not smart when it comes to analyzing players a lot of the time. I think he's a really good radio host. That's what I think about Colin Cowherd.
Yeah, I know what he is, too, and that's why I can't stand him or don't pay any attention. So I know that's what it is. It's it's an invitation to say the inflammatory thing and get attention for it. I don't buy that. It's why I don't click on LeVar Big Baller brand stuff. I don't do any of that crap. I don't watch that. I don't watch any Real Housewives. I don't watch any of that stuff. To me, it's all feeding out of the same trough. It's attention for attention's sake. I don't provide that. You're not getting that currency from me. But God bless him. He's carved out a very nice living for himself. And he's making a lot of money. Makes a lot of money doing it. That's not something that I'm prepared or willing or entitled to do. So people that ask us, how do we feel about it? That's how we feel. This is what he said about Kirk Cousins. Which take am I responding to?
Are we talking about when he said that they needed to pay him a boatload? Are we talking about when he said that the 49ers and Browns needed to give up all their picks for him? Are we talking about when he said he was one of the more underrated quarterbacks in the league? Are we talking about when he said he's not worth money and he can name 16 guys better? And which of his many opinions that are all very different do you want me to react to?
Almost to the day of him saying having Alex Smith as your QB is like going to Vegas with $100, meaning your upside is limited, and then you're going to tell me that he's a franchise quarterback more so than the guy that you finished saying is a franchise quarterback. I can't keep track of the takes. That's why I don't respond to them, because I'll be responding to an outdated take probably 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, you can't keep up. Let's go X Factors. Who do you got in the Super Bowl making the big difference that isn't a star? That is the question. Non-Tom Brady, not Rob Gronkowski division. 800-636-1067. Let's go Patriots first and then Eagles. Grant and Danny on the Fan. What a day on the food front for your pals Grant and Danny. We're ramping up for the Super Bowl by eating like just monsters. Got to thank Kate, Austin Grill, Springfield. Check out that location this weekend for your wing needs if you want to eat healthy wings.
Delicious wings.
She dropped off some dry-rubbed smoked sillies for your boys. These are just delicious, excellent, healthy wings that maybe I'll just eat all day on Sunday.
There's a bunch of them left, too. Thank you to EMP 180 Weight Loss as well for all the food they brought in Super Bowl. EMP 180 friendly food. Check them out in Tyson's Corner, Rock Vegas, etc. They got a Super Bowl themed menu that we experienced. Really, really good. Appreciate those guys stopping by.
Let's go X Factors for the Super Bowl. Start with the Patriots on offense, then we'll get to the defensive side of the ball. Give me your Patriot when they've got the rock to keep an eye on.
Brandon Cooks. Sometimes a disappearing act, other times a factor. A guy that can get downfield. It's usually the body punch, body punch, body punch. Be it Deion Lewis, be it James White, be it Gronkowski, be it somebody else kind of underneath crossing routes, et cetera. And Amendola always shines in the playoffs, it seems. Brandon Cooks is the guy that can take the top off in a couple different ways. One, the catch and run, but two, just going deep down the football field. And I think if New England's going to do what they want to do, which is ultimately major in those 12 yards and in surgical Tom Brady strikes, you got to put the fear of God in Philadelphia. You got to show that you'll go over the top to 14. You got to show that you're willing and capable and able to take the top off and do something major. Even if you don't hit one, I think they've got to send Brandon Cooks deep a couple different times so that Philadelphia has that in the back of their head so they can't just have everything in front of them and flying up the football field.
Chris Hogan is my X factor for the Patriots offense. Like you, I think they're going to end up throwing the ball a lot in this game. I think Philadelphia's plan is going to be to make them somewhat one-dimensional, and you're not going to be able to take away Tom Brady, but at least if you know he's throwing the ball, you can drop enough guys into coverage to try to make some plays in the passing game.
Yeah.
Try to knock a ball into the air to get an interception or ricochet something into the sideline on a third down to force out the punting team. Hogan is a forgotten man. He had injury problems this season, was out for several weeks. Before the bye week in week 9, he was a machine for Tom Brady. Just about every single week, he was somewhere around 4 or 5 catches and mostly in the 70-yard vicinity. He had 5 touchdown grabs in the first 5 weeks of the season. Then he had 1 catch because he played in 1 game after week 9, from weeks 10 through 17, and it was a 1-yard touchdown catch against Miami. However, you've seen him in each of the playoff games on the field. He caught two balls this past game against Jacksonville in the AFC Championship game. He caught a touchdown against the Titans. I think Chris Hogan's going to have his biggest game since October. I'm looking for 5 or 6 grabs, somewhere around 75 yards, and I think he catches at least 1, possibly 2 touchdowns in this game.
Ooh,
Chris Hogan.
Big prediction.
My X factor on offense. Give me your defensive X factor for the Patriots.
I've been kicking this around trying to figure out who it's going to be because they're definitely a we over individuals, whether it's, you know, McCourty, who's led them in tackles as a safety, never a good sign for a defense. Patrick Chung, second on the team, by the way, in tackles, the two safeties, because they had so many injuries at the linebacker spot. I'm looking at somebody that I think is going to have to make Nick Foles do it. And that, to me, whether it's someone on the interior, whether it's linebacking spot, whatever it is, I'm looking at Kyle Van Noy as
my guy.
He's kind of the Swiss Army knife. Tackles, runs around a little bit, 5.5 sacks, the occasional blitzer. To me, that's where I'm looking. Again, it's not necessarily about the individuals for that Patriots defense. It's more scheme, system, as a group. They've been give up a lot of yards. You could force Philadelphia into a couple third and longs. I'll take my chances. If you get 5 of those, maybe they convert 2 or 3, but for the most part, that's where maybe some of your big plays and turnovers might come.
Van Noy would have been mine because I think he's largely going to be responsible for helping against Zach Ertz. I don't know how they're going to stop Zach Ertz. He's so good.
Don't you see a safety? Whether maybe they put Malcolm Butler on him or something?
Well, you're bracketing him. You're basically beating him up at the line of scrimmage and having Van Noy run with him short. Yeah. Anything that he stops on, you know, in 5-8 yard range, I think Van Noy kind of throttles it down underneath of him. But, yeah, is that Patrick Chung? Is that Devin McCourty? One of those two guys? So I'll save the safety position. I actually think the kid they drafted way earlier than was expected, Daron Harmon, who plays safety for them well, actually is going to play a big role against Ertz as well. So pick your poison, but the safety interchangeable Ertz role where they're going to have to defend one of the game's premium tight ends. And Zach Ertz has become a star. Make no bones about this.
He's really good.
He is, at this moment, as good a combination of a route runner, post-catch playmaker, hands-grabbing receiver, essentially a wide receiver at the tight end position that we've got. He's a top-5 player at the position, 75 catches on average the last 3 years, over 800 yards, 3 straight seasons. He is not as good as Jordan Reed or Rob Gronkowski, but he's more durable than Reed. He's coming off 8 touchdowns for the first time. You've seen what he's done in these playoffs as well. He's been outstanding. So Ertz, to me, is a big-time player they've got to watch. We'll get to some Eagles X-factors in just a moment. Specific to the Patriots game plan, though, if stopping Ertz is the kind of the weapon you want to take away on defense, that's what Belichick's going to try to do. What about offensively? How can they prevent Tom Brady from seeing pressure from directly up the middle? Because this is how he gets beaten.
Mm-hmm.
Every single time in the playoffs it's happened. The rare game with the Jets years ago, every time Manning led Denver or Indianapolis beat them.
Trash at his feet.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's that stuff.
You can see it right now thinking about it. It's Brady having to move side to side with those cinder block feet where he's not just statuesque and flat-footed. Guess who's great at rushing from the interior? The Philadelphia Eagles.
Fletcher Cox, Timmy Jernigan, badasses.
If you're the Patriots, what do you do? How do you defend that? How do you make sure on passing downs they're not getting home? I think the key is going to be you don't really move the pocket a lot. When's the last time you saw Tom Brady run a bootleg?
2004, maybe?
Doesn't happen, right? You're not going to start doing that. It's going to be first and foremost Brady moving around in the pocket as he's been known to do. Just sliding one way or the other, kind of helping an offensive line as they get beat. But more importantly, it's the quick game, dude. Everything's going to be fast. I think he's going to, and he always does. This is what I always laugh about with people that call in about Cousins or even Alex Smith now. He checks it down. That's the league. You know who checks it down all the time? Tom Brady. They have 1 or 2 long developing plays, it seems like a half, just to keep you honest.
I'll take a running back in space against a linebacker over a lot of things.
I think James White's probably going to catch 8 balls. Deion Lewis is probably going to catch 4 balls. Rob Gronkowski's going to get 7 or 8 targets and 6 or 7 catches. This is a tight ends and running backs day because they're not going to have Brady sitting back there waiting for your boy Brandon Cooks to get down the field. I just don't see it.
Yeah, I don't see them majoring that by any stretch. I think to get to what you're talking about, they've got to show it once or twice, even if it means you max protect or keep an extra guy in to chip
you
Brandon Graham or whatever
play
else.
Action, maybe.
Yeah, out of run action. But here's what I do. I think this is an obscure reference, so bear with me. Joe Gibbs era, Joe Gibbs 2.0, Jacksonville was really good one of these years. They had great interior defensive tackles. I think Marcus Stroud was one. I couldn't remember who the other guy was.
It was John... I'll pull his name.
You know what I'm talking about, right? That year.
John Henderson was his name.
Henderson sounds right.
So he's the guy that used to get slapped in the face right before the game by one of their coaches.
In that game, if you remember, and I was at that game, one of the last games at FedEx that I went to, the Redskins, early on, the first half, they didn't run a running play up the middle of the field. Had no interest in it. Basically, making those guys chase. They ran sideline to sideline all game long. And then late, that's when they ran up the middle. That's when they ran their draws. That's when they ran some of the counter stuff, Clinton Portis, moving those guys. Because you couldn't move them in the first quarter. Good luck trying. Those are rocks. Those are absolute wildebeests in there, knocking your guys around. Outside, 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 whether it's quick game to Deion Lewis, quick game to James White, or even some of the, you know, the toss plays, just making those interior guys run. You may not have a lot of success early on because Philadelphia can fly around, especially guys like Malcolm Jenkins. Linebacker corps improved over the years. But I think you do that early, then late, you'd be able to come up the middle a little bit. You can get some more success in the middle of the football field. If you show wide early and maybe take a couple three and outs or take a couple negative plays, you make guys run to the football early, later on they'll be tired. I could see that as maybe a Patriots design when they've got the football.
I like it. It's a smart idea. It isn't their strength by any means. So the question then you have to ask is, do we just want to do what we do? I got Josh McDaniels calling my plays and Tom Brady throwing the football. Am I really going to go outside of my expertise and my strength because I'm worried about Philadelphia Eagles? And that's what they got to ask themselves. And it's the old philosophy of, do I do what I do best, better than them?
This guy hits the fastball well, but has he hit my fastball?
Exactly. I'll bet you they're a little bit too proud to do that, but I actually really like the idea. Let's get to Eagles X Factors next, and we can take some calls. Who do you think is going to be the player that nobody talks about that ends up playing big in the Super Bowl? 800-636-1067. We're Grant and Danny.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Just 30 minutes left on a football Friday ahead of Super Bowl 52. We're giving you our players to watch, X-Factors, for both teams. We just gave you offense and defensive X-Factors for the New England Patriots. Let's move over to the Philadelphia Eagles, your underdogs. What's the spread? Is it down to four?
I saw four. I saw four and a half a lot in different places. Four and a half is what I've seen. I'll give you the updated one.
I think it'll probably end up being right around there. I actually think I would take Philly plus four, if I had to make a bet right
now. New England always wins Super Bowls, but closer than people remember.
And I wouldn't bet on that offering. I would go with prop bets. I would go national anthem stuff, whatever. I would have fun with some of the non-football prop bets. I don't feel good enough about picking this game to actually put any money on it. But if I had to, if you told me, hey, you got to throw $100 down on something, I would take the Eagles with the 4 points. A, I could see them winning outright. I wouldn't bet on it, but I could definitely see it.
Most right now, sorry to interrupt, 4.5. Westgate has them at Patriots minus four, but everyone else is 4.5.
So there's nowhere where they're 3.5?
I haven't seen that.
Okay. Yeah, I think I would take that. You?
Eagles to cover. That's what I would, if I had to pick, that's what I would take. Because I think the Patriots will win, but the Eagles will cover.
Yeah, and if I had to, I've been saying about 7 to 10 points. If I had to put a score on it right now, I'd say like 27-20. But I could absolutely see this being a field goal game. If you told me right now it's either a blowout or it comes down to a field goal with the gun, I would bet it's a field goal. Because New England does not play a brand of football that is going to blow anybody out.
What they don't typically do, now in years past they have. They got off to a lead against Philadelphia more than a decade ago, the last time they played, whenever the hell it was. But they oftentimes will not start out a game great. And they'll get behind. And it doesn't matter because they throw so effectively. They're so good in the passing game. They're so good in the quick game, the hurry up and everything else. Not just influenced by last year's 25-point comeback, but you've seen them do it. You've seen them kind of start a season slow. You've seen them start games slow. Figure out where the hole is, how they're attacking you, and then drive a Mack truck through it and bring all their friends. That's how they do it.
My X factor for the Eagles is Malcolm Jenkins, the safety.
Good one.
Sean McVay was on our show yesterday. If you missed him, go to grantanddanny.com/audio. If you missed D'Angelo Hall, do the same thing, grantanddanny.com/audio. Malcolm Jenkins, though, is one of the better safeties in the league, and McVay talked to us on the show yesterday about all the ways they use him and some of the things that he does to present issues for a play caller like McVay. You have to know where he's at all times if you're a quarterback. He's going to be heavily involved in whatever their plan is against Rob Gronkowski. And that plan's not going to work all that effectively because no plan does against Gronk. But if they're going to keep him under 100 yards and under 2 touchdowns, Jenkins is going to have to be a major factor. I think he can be. I think he's a complete
good player.
Safety. So he's my big player on defense for Philadelphia.
Derek Barnett is my name on defense. Now, numbers don't pop the eye. This is 28 total tackles, 5 sacks, nothing special there. Why am I highlighting him? I believe that if I'm New England, if I'm in the meeting room, I go, you guys, 91 is one of the best players on the planet. That's Fletcher Cox. The prime of his career, he's the thing from Fantastic Four. You cannot move him. He will move you. We have to pay attention to him. Their best pass rusher on a consistent basis is Brandon Graham, defensive end on the outside. That's a 10-sack guy. That's going to get my attention. Derek Barnett will be one-on-one. Vinnie Curry will be one-on-one in this game. Those guys can win their one-on-one matchup and bother Tom Brady. That changes it for New England. There's only so many holes in the dam that you can plug with a finger. You can pay attention to Jernigan. You can chip on Fletcher Cox. You can double-team with a guard-center combo. You can have a tight end stay for a moment or a running back chip Brandon Graham on the way out, but you can't double-team everybody and still run your offense. I think you're going to see Derek Barnett alone. If he's handled by whichever tackle he ends up lining up against for the most part, I think the Patriots' offense will be pretty effective, especially in getting some developing plays going. If not, if Derek Barnett shows some of what he showed against the Redskins a couple times and other teams throughout the year, that it can be an effective pass rusher, that changes the game because it means you can't account for everything Philly's going to do. And if they don't have to blitz, Jim Schwartz doesn't have to dip into the bag of tricks to do anything special. You rush the 4, that's the Giants' recipe. That's the Carolina Panthers' recipe, who beat them in New England early on the season. That's how they win.
X factor on offense for Philly. I can't go Ertz, who I just praised for 3 minutes because I think he's too big of a factor normally for them. I'm going to go with LeGarrette Blount, the former Patriots running back who helped carry them deep into the playoffs in the past. I think there's going to be a couple of goal line sequences where Blount gets a couple carries on first and second and goal and plunges into the end zone. You know how sometimes coaches like to be cute and give their guys a chance? They think almost like hat on a hat style. This is your opportunity to stick it to your old team.
Nice.
I think Blount gets called from the sideline and old number 29 trots out there on second or third and goal from a half yard away. And a couple times finishes some drives. I could see him having a line where he rushes for like 11 yards but 2 touchdowns in this game. He's my X factor.
Mine, I was choosing between Jay Ajayi and the guy that I ultimately chose. Alshon Jeffrey. That's their best wide receiver difference maker.
It's weird, by the way, that as good as he is, he's as little a piece of their offense as he is. And he does not seem to care at all.
Seems to be fine with it. Again, this is some of the numbers are eye-popping, and both in a good and bad direction. You see 9 touchdowns, product of the fact that he's big and tall and strong and can work well in space, in limited space, rather. 57 catches doesn't blow your skirt up, but 120 targets. Led the team in targets. 120, but only 57 catches. That doesn't speak very well to how on the same page they're on that passing game.
Did he finish with 800? I think he was under 800 yards.
789 yards on the season. You saw games where
dude had 1,400 at one point in Chicago.
I know it. I know it. And again, the stunning low catch percentage, I just find curious. Other guys didn't experience the same thing. Just for whatever reason, they didn't connect. But maybe it's higher risk stuff. Maybe it's more downfield stuff with him, et cetera. But I think Jeffrey's a guy that can win. And I think he can win on third down. I think he can win some one-on-one stuff, especially if I'm New England. Again, if I'm Matt Patricia with my hat on backwards, pencil behind my ear, Bill Belichick in those meetings, I'm going, I won't let Ertz do it. I'm not going to let 86 do it. That's the guy that I'm going to pay attention to. I think, again, you see some one-on-one for Jeffrey. I think you see him being able to have a few big plays on third downs. If Philadelphia's going to win, if they're going to move the ball, consistently score points on offense, I think it's Aguilar and I think it's Jeffrey, the guys that are going to have to do it.
Who are you happiest for to see in the Super Bowl? And you don't have to go creative here. I mean, it could be as simple as, you know, and I know it's not for you, Danny, but if someone's listening – Tom Brady, because as he gets older, he keeps getting better in all of his hard work of off the field money invested and all the things he's doing with his body is paying off. It could be Belichick cementing himself as the greatest coach ever. Who's the guy? Because I've got one in mind I'm going to tell you in a second. Who's the guy you go, man, I really hope he wins. I like that guy.
I've only got one guy that I'm mildly, I don't even want to say happy for, because he's with the Eagles, but it's Chris Long is the only guy that I care about.
That's mine.
Because he's a good dude.
He won a title last year, so it's not like you feel like, man, he doesn't have a ring. This would be 2 in 2 years with two teams, but the guy donated every single penny he made this year to charity. All of it. He played for free. Jokingly, people will say sometimes, Danny, oh, if you love the game so much, why don't you just play for free?
He did this year.
That's what he did. I've never heard of another athlete doing that.
Couldn't be more active in the community either. Has done a ton of things. Both Charlottesville, where he went to UVA, in Philadelphia, where he is now. He's still got stuff that he's connected to back in New England. The guy is an awesome dude.
He's sending like double-digit kids to college this year or something like that, I was reading. 5 sacks, pretty good season, 4 forced fumbles. He's just kind of an okay role player. He spent so many years on bad Rams teams, and now the last 2 years he's played in the Super Bowl.
It's cool. It's a great opportunity. You know, for 8 years I didn't get close to the playoffs, and, you know, when you go to the Super Bowl 2 years in a row, you have to realize it's a lot of luck. It's some good decision-making in free agency. And I always realize that I waited a long time to be here, but a lot of players never get to be here. So it's a real blessing for me.
You know who else I'm happy for as I think about it is the head coach of the Eagles, Doug Peterson. That was not a hire that was universally beloved. I think Eagles fans, as they always are, were skeptical. But remember how bad off they were after Chip Kelly left. I remember you and I, when they first hired Peterson, basically thought that was a couple years where we didn't have to think or worry about the Eagles. It was going to be the Giants, the Cowboys, and whatever the Redskins could become as Kirk Cousins took flight. That first season, they showed enough that right away coming into this year, you and I said, look out for this
team. They'll be better. I didn't think this.
No,
these guys will be better.
Super Bowl, no chance. But Peterson's done a good job. I think he's gotten a lot better as a play caller very quickly. He's out of Andy Reid's shadow, and he almost seems like a better, more run-oriented version of Andy Reid. And this year, he was dealt a lot of adversity and a bad hand. Not quite to the extent of the Redskins, but they lost some key pieces and they kept moving forward.
It's tough. But, you know, for me, it was about, I got to coach the next guy. I got to get the next guy ready. You know, we hate that a guy like Jason Peters is not with us, or Darren Sproles or Maragos, the guys that we talk about all the time, Jordan Hicks, Carson. But you know, tomorrow's coming, and we got to get ready for tomorrow. And we got to get the next player ready to go tomorrow and the next day and the next. And that's kind of been our demeanor. That's kind of been my mindset, my message to the team all season. It's been about us, you know, all year. And nothing ever matters. Nothing else matters.
Couple of quotes there that I think are great. First of all, I think Blue Shorts would agree with me. The last quote where he said, nothing ever matters, nothing matters. I think that's a great quote.
Very good.
Nothing does
very
matter, as we've talked about many, many times. But the better quote there, call me Grant Madden. I'm Joe Madden here. I'll throw this on like a clubhouse and everyone can walk past it all the time. Tomorrow is coming. I think that's powerful. Whatever you do today, and I mean this in life in general. Like, you and I just ate a bunch of food.
Yep.
Probably shouldn't have done that. We got weigh-ins tomorrow.
Right.
Tomorrow's always coming, man.
Tomorrow's coming, dude.
And one day it won't, and that's going to suck,
by the way. That is the sound of inevitability. Yeah.
But tomorrow will be here, and that was kind of their philosophy this year. Here was Doug Peterson's message to his players. What are the final words he plans on telling them before they strap on the pads as underdogs against the Patriots?
I know they're going to be anxious and ready to go. You know, Sunday's a long day. And you know, we just have to, you just gotta control. It's hard, but you control your emotions. You just tell them, say, listen, you're ready to go. You know, you just go cut it loose, play like you have been all season long. And, we'll see what happens, you know, Sunday afternoon. But, for me, there'll be a piece of just understanding that the guys are ready to go and I'm ready to go, and we're just waiting for kickoff.
All that's left to do now is play the game. We are just 2 days away. We will make our predictions on Super Bowl 52, and you will hear from Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, the greatest coach and arguably the greatest quarterback of their times in the NFL, next on Grant and Danny.
Folks, Danny Rouillet for my guys at Tedbert Ford. January is gone. It's time now. Turn the calendar to February. It's 2018. Just got used to writing that on checks. Now it's time to get you a brand new ride. Speaking of checks, they'll get you one. Up to 130% Kelley Blue Book value for your trade. And that's right. They'll give you that value, baby. Go see my guys at Tedbert Ford. And go get a 2018 Ford Fusion, just like mine. I got a 2017 Fusion. I love it. And you can get one for just $150 a month on a lease deal. You can also lease an F-150 pickup. You know, the number one truck in these United States for just $249 a month. Or buy one for up to $11,000 off the MSRP. 2018 Explorer, just $230 a month. Or buy it for $10,000 off the MSRP. Take that MSRP, $10,000 less on the Explorer. And 2018 Escape, just $150 a month. Or buy it for $16,999. Here's your point. Here's your theme. Here's your bottom line. Incredible cars, great deals, and the best people in the car game. That's how they've been in business about 60 years. That's how they've done it for this long. They do it better than everybody else because they go that extra mile, pun intended. Go see my guys at Tedbert Ford in Fairfax or Chantilly. And when you do, tell them Danny sent you.
Loss. Big thanks to as well to our friend Kate dropping off some wings. You got to go to Springfield and find these smoked sillies. People are raving about them.
They're delicious. They are delicious down USA. Quick note, if I may.
Austin Grill is where you can find them.
Austin Grill. Austin 360. Here's what I want to tell you real quick, though, before I get distracted by saying Stone Cold Steve Austin shtick. Ozzie Newsom out as GM of the Baltimore Ravens here.
How'd that happen?
It looks like he's stepping down after next season. Eric DaCosta will take over. Again, not necessarily that this is that major of a news for the D.C. marketplace. Ozzie Newsom been in that chair a long time. Successful general manager, has done some really good things there.
For the record, DaCosta's been the guy in waiting for a while. A lot of other teams have called about him in the past, and it was always kind of known he'd be next. He is Ozzie's right-hand man. The Ravens drafts haven't been great recently. I mean, Ozzie Newsom is a really good general manager. Ozzie Smith is a baseball player who does backflips.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Newsom's a good general manager. Way better than what the Redskins have had and way better than what most teams have. Last few years, though, has not been as good a look for their operation as before.
No, it hasn't. And then there are misses, and that's inevitable. They're still annually pretty darn competitive, though. And what I'm getting to is this. Stability. Calm,
yeah.
Normalcy.
GM leaves, you promote the guy who's worked under him for years.
Not even leaving right now. After this season, Ozzie Newsom's going to leave. Don't worry, we already have the general manager in place.
Oh, he's staying around for another season?
Yeah, so after next season, so after this coming year.
This is how it's done with an adult organization.
I pointed this out over the summer with Green Bay. How unthinkable it was that they would go a split second without a general manager. That's unbelievable to me. The matter of the fact that there's one moment in time where they wouldn't have an established singular voice running the football operations of the organization. The good ones, Green Bay, Baltimore, et cetera, et cetera. Baltimore wouldn't even have an instant where they're general manager free. Green Bay, the search was lightning speed downhill with rocket skates on.
Yeah.
Like Superman when he reversed time after Lois got buried in the avalanche. The Redskins have gone 26 years without an adequate general manager, basically. Not 26. Dan Snyder's entire ownership. It's unthinkable for someone that knows what they're doing to have a single second general manager free, and the Redskins are going on Dan Snyder's entire ownership tenure without one.
Before we get out of here and turn things over to Chad for CDVTW, by the way, Chad's got some awesome new T-shirts, so congratulations and kudos to him.
Oh, that is neat.
That's a pretty sweet deal to be handing out your own show T-shirts. I dig that. So he'll tell you how you can win those in the coming days, but I've heard them giving them away to some callers who have made some good points
nice.
In the last couple of days. A couple of storylines to hit before we head on out of here, though. One is that Tom Brady's still talking about his hand. You don't get to talk about your hand anymore. It didn't affect you at all in the AFC Championship game. You were perfectly fine. You were as accurate as always. Nothing was different. I never would have known you were hurt if everyone didn't make a big deal about it all the week leading up to a game that was almost 2 weeks ago now. Why are we still talking about this? But Brady says it's not quite where he wishes that it was.
I'm doing better. Been good to be out there, obviously, and participate in the way that I have. So, again, I don't think I'm quite where I want to be, but hopefully we can get there in a few days. So just trying to really stay with my routine and not deviate much from what I normally do. It's still, I know there's obviously a lot of other obligations, commitments for us as players, but for me, it's all football. It's all, you know, just getting my body feeling good every day and watching a lot of tape and meeting with our teammates and us all really being on the same page.
As far as getting Gronk back, Brady yesterday in his press conference was talking about how important it is for the Patriots to have him on the field and how much worse off they are without him, even though they made it look fairly easy moving the football in the second half against Jacksonville. He said it's hard to do that and sustain that, but he also talked about the trust he's gotten Gronk.
Well, as high as there could ever be with any player. I've played with him for a long time. I've thrown him a lot of footballs. He knows exactly what to do. He knows where to expect the ball, when to expect it, and you know, he's just a tremendous player for our team.
They can't win without him. Is that fair to say?
Like, I don't think they would have.
If Gronkowski slips a banana peel here in, right before the game starts and he doesn't play, they don't win this game without him.
So
right?
I told someone I was talking to that last night, and they said, well, they won last year without him. Last year, they had Julian Edelman. Julian Edelman, in a lot of ways, is Gronk-like, not in the body type by any means, but basically in the middle of the field.
That route tree,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Working some of the same routes. Tom Brady having a great rapport with someone and a safety valve he can check it down to. Without Edelman and without Gronk, it's a whole different world. I don't think they'd have won this game without Gronk. It is a game changer that he is back. All right, time for our final predictions on an MVP and a score, Mr. Rouye.
28-27.
Eagles.
The Patriots
Eagles.
Do it again.
Wait, you're saying Eagles and Patriots?
No. That's some idiot. I don't know who that was who said that before. I would never say that. I would never say something like Eagles. I would never do that. Patriots
Eagles.
Win.
Eagles.
28-27. It is a close game. The Patriots have to come back, and they'll score at the end of the game to win it, as they always do. MVP, incredibly boring.
Eagles.
Tom Brady does it again. Let's all remember that there's no point to this game.
Okay, I got it.
Jeremy McElroy. No, you idiot. Shut up.
New England wins the game 27-23. The Patriots are Super Bowl champions again. Your MVP, Rob Gronkowski. Big storyline all week was whether or not he'd play. He catches 8 balls for 119 yards and 2 touchdowns. And Gronk is your MVP. That's a big number. Tommy's going nuts over there. Hey, it's 8 and a buck 19 and 2 for Gronk.
I mean, that's a huge over for the player prop, I would assume.
Your boy is going to get in on that player prop, I think. The Patriots love just reminding people how smart they are. And they love playing kind of the storyline all week into their own narrative during the game. They're going to force feed Rob Gronkowski.
Dude, it's going to be so many James White and Deion Lewis's.
It's also
going to
be a lot of that. But you forget that last year White took the MVP car home when he caught 86 passes in the come from behind
win. He scored that touchdown at the end, right? Or
was
it Deion Lewis that scored it?
That
no, it was White.
No,
was
Deion
it?
Lewis was hurt last year.
Yeah, that's right. It was White scored. Yep.
Sweet Feet White was the unsung hero. Chad Dukes versus the world is next. If you missed any part of today's Super Bowl preview or Alex Smith or Kirk Cousins conversations, you can go to grantanddanny.com.
Enjoy this terrible Super Bowl that I wouldn't watch if it wasn't for work. Kitty, get together.
Eagles.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.